Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise as we continue our Lenten journey, and especially for this special Sunday, Laetare Sunday, where we are reminded to step back and remember what we're doing and why we're doing it, that we want to grow closer to you and be purified of our sins and be better witnesses to the power of your love and mercy and the truth of this beautiful gospel that we have tonight, John 3:16. So we ask you to send forth your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts, that your word may take root in our hearts and not return to you void, but accomplish all it was sent to do. We ask this with confidence through Christ our Lord. Amen. So our Mass intention this evening is for the repose of the soul of Leo Grabsky. And because I probably will forget, I'm going to do the announcements right now and then I'll launch into the homily. Catholic Relief Services collection is this Sunday. The CRS collection provides us an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of vulnerable people around the world and right here at home. We can provide housing for victims of natural disasters, educational legal services for immigrants and asylum seekers, and ministry to maritime workers. The envelopes are in the bulletin as you leave the church today. And I saw the work they do in Africa and Malawi. We spent a whole day with Catholic Relief Services and saw the wonderful things they're doing in Malawi, Africa there several years ago. So they're a great organization. And you do have your rice bowls, so hopefully you're cashing in all your change there. And that's a wonderful thing that helps their work in ministry as well. And then there are donuts available. This will distract you from my homily, I hope not. But there are donuts available for sale after Mass. From Krispy Kreme. My dad, he loves donuts, but he thinks those are too sweet, so he doesn't. They have a Krispy Kreme in Richmond, he's never visited it. That's amazing for my father. But they're available, and the benefits are going to go to help support our St. Vincent de Paul Conference. And we're already getting lots of referrals because, you know, people are falling on hard times. So we really appreciate the support you give us in reaching out to those who are falling on hard times. So today we celebrate Laetare Sunday, and it's just ingenious how the church, we're about halfway through, more or less, of our Lenten season. And so the church wants us to step back and say, what are we doing? How are we doing? And do we really understand the spirit of Lent and why we have this wonderful season? And so if there's anything I could frame tonight's message, it would be Romans chapter 14, verse 17. And this came to me in prayer. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of food and drink, or donuts, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the ultimate goal of us giving things up for Lent and trying to get deeper into prayer and almsgiving and fasting is to make us have more capacity for joy in the Holy Spirit. And so many people don't understand that, and they do kind of weird religious customs and things that really don't make them more loving people and more holy people. And so this is the checkpoint for us. Are we experiencing more joy in the Holy Spirit? And the readings are just absolutely amazing. I was doing daytime prayer today, and just the readings that the church puts together for this Lenten season remind us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He's on our side. He wants to help us. And the first reading highlighted the tragedy, which is very prevalent today in our world, that overall the world is in a huge state of rebellion against God. We just see people usurping his commandments and just what has been revealed to us. And we just see the fallout, the disorder and confusion that exists in our society in so many ways. You just turn the daily news on and people are confused and really lost. And so this is a time for us to step back and say, yes, that's true, just as it was in that time for that biblical reading. But you know what? I know the love of God. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's come into my life and changed it definitively. And now I have a whole new mission and focus in my life because God did so love the world and he's on our side and he didn't come to condemn it, but to save it. And so we have to humble ourselves and realize that salvation is God's free gift. Again, the church had that beautiful second reading from Ephesians chapter 2. It's not because of anything you did. See, that's the arrogance of humankind, is wanting to take credit for what God has done. And so that's why Christian worship, when we have the Mass, it's us coming together and simply giving thanks for God's saving action in Jesus Christ. In the Greek world, with the Greek religion, they had to offer sacrifices because the gods had very human characteristics. They were jealous and envious. They were mean and cruel. But Christian worship, Catholic worship, is very different. It's us simply coming into the presence of God and giving thanks for what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on Calvary, and not pretending that we earned it or we could possibly ever deserve that. He spared no expense to bring us into his family and offer us a whole new way of life. And so our life is spent just trying to be grateful for this and to call other people to experience it, because it changes your life. Amen. Doesn't it? Changed my life. It's changing my life, I should say. It's a verb. But also inviting other people to experience that. And so the more we are drawn into this merciful love, God who is rich in mercy, wasn't that one of the first sentences in the second reading? That was actually John Paul II's second encyclical, Divus et Misericordia, rich in mercy. And in that encyclical, he uses the example of the prodigal son as one of the most important parables that Jesus told. And I remember reading that and just being overwhelmed with his insight that it wasn't so much that the son, you know, he had a nice place to live and he wasn't eating with the pigs anymore at the trough, but that his relationship was restored as the son to the father. And that's why Jesus came, to restore us as children of God and to make us in right relationship with God and with one another. And so often in our world today, we focus on physical things, people's well-being. Do they have a nice job? Do they go to college? Do they have, you know, physical things that they enjoy? And we often don't focus on the relationship with us and God. And that's what Jesus came to restore. And that's why, too, as we focus more on those kind of things that aren't necessarily the most important, we see the disunity in our families and the lack of respect for mothers and fathers and the hatred we often see between siblings where they don't know how to forgive each other and find their way back to God and to one another. So today, the church is inviting us to say, do you really know the truth of that gospel reading? That's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world, you know, he sent his only begotten son to save us from our sins. Do you in your own life know that love, that intense mercy and love of Jesus Christ? And are you willing to share it with someone else who may be lost and trying to find meaning and purpose and just coming up with dead ends in their life? So today is all about stepping back and saying, Lord, I don't want to live out of a victim spirit. It's so popular in the world today. I'm unhappy and it's somebody else's fault. So I'm going to spend my whole life railing against other people and what they're not doing right and all the injustice in the world, rather than saying, you know what? I'm a sinner. I need God's love. I need redemption. And once you establish that relationship, everything else will fall in its proper place. And you won't get upset when you see the injustice in the world, because you realize this is a broken and fallen world. I got upset this week, you know. I was trying to save the parish some money, which I'm constantly trying to do. And so Comcast has not been very good to us. We're paying for 150 megabytes per second. They were giving us 32 megabytes per second. So I called them and they came out and they totally fixed everything. Well, we're up to 80 megabytes per second, a far cry from 150 megabytes per second, right? So I'm upset and I put another order and they never responded to it. Okay, we're done with you. We're gonna cancel our $288 a month now and go with CenturyLink for $69 a month. And it's 940 megabytes per second. Ooh, that's a lot faster, isn't it? So you, all of you who are streaming, amazing things on your computer screens as you watch the mass. So I spent 40 minutes on the phone setting up a new account, gave them our credit card, they billed us, and they were supposed to come on Wednesday. So I'm waiting from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesday. It's 5:30 p.m. No one has shown up. And I told Comcast to cancel our service the next day, which means we don't have any phones or internet or anything. So I call them up and, oh, we don't know what happened. No one's going to show up there. And it went to engineering or something. So extend your service with Comcast another day or two and call us back. I called back. No one called me. They don't have service here. So why did they lie to me? And so I got all upset about that. You know, I'm like, and then the Lord just said, hey, didn't I tell you live in an imperfect world and I'm going to shake everything up? And all the little comforts and conveniences are going to kind of fall by the wayside. Yeah, Lord, I remember you telling me that, but I didn't believe it. And so you just have to step back and say, you know what, in the grand scheme of things with people who are sick and all the problems in our world, is that really worth losing my peace over? No, but I did send a report to the Better Business Bureau. Hey, it's not right, you know. And I was on the phone for hours, and it just took a lot of my time and everything. So, you know, it's kind of like, don't people take pride in their work anymore? And why would they do that? They said they had service available and all that. So, but then you realize that we live in an imperfect world, and the most important thing is my relationship with the Lord and to celebrate the wonderful things he's doing in your life and my life and not to get all upset about those stupid things. But it was annoying. It did take some of my time. But in the end, I pray that you and I can step back this week and say, you know what? It's kind of crazy out there, but it's not crazy in here. I know the goodness and mercy of God. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the power and joy of the Holy Spirit, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And we want more of that. So wherever you're at in your Lenten journey, maybe you've fallen off the wagon, you were going to give this up or that up, and it didn't work out. come back to the Lord and say, help me to focus on Philippians 1:10, the things that really matter, the things that really are valuable and importance for us. And the Holy Spirit will start helping us to organize our life in a way where, you know what, that's really not that important, that's not important, this is important. Amen? So let's just say a prayer for the Holy Spirit to encourage us as we continue our second half of Lent. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your faithfulness. And I remember a friend sharing Numbers 23 with me once that I'm not like human beings. I do what I say I will do, and you are faithful. So help us on our journey of Lent to experience even more the richness of your mercy, and help us to be merciful to the people around us, and to help people experience what we've experienced, this grace of salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray in a very special way for the help of all of our heavenly friends, our saints in heaven, and especially our Blessed Mother Mary, who was such a beautiful example of total commitment to discipleship. And we just pray that if anyone in this church tonight is feeling discouraged or overwhelmed by the sufferings and difficulties they're experiencing, that you would send them a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit to strengthen them in their inner self, to know the height, the depth, the breadth, and length of your love, and to be filled with your presence. We ask this with confidence through Christ our Lord. Thank you.